Leaks have been in the news lately. In many cases, leaks have been the news, from disclosures about the president revealing intelligence sources to Russia to an intelligence contractor arrested this week for releasing info about Russian cyber attacks on election software companies and local voting offices.
And the issue came up in yesterday's Senate Intelligence Committee testimony. Former FBI Director James Comey said he asked a friend to share the contents of his presidential conversation memos with the press. President Trump said today at a press conference, Comey's a leaker.
Speaking of Twitter, our next guest tweeted a series of thoughts about the value of leaks in political reporting. Paul Singer is with us now. He's a Washington correspondent for USA Today. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, you had a little mini Twitter storm recently about leaks. What led you to want to put that out there?
Oh, I don't know. I must have had a beer or something. There had been a whole series of conversations, you know, leaks are bad, and people have to stop the leaks and stop the leaks. And, you know, leaks are fundamental to democracy. It is how information the government does want to get out gets out. It is the definition of what you want. And my whole point of this little tweet storm was, listen, if you believe in democracy and you believe in a free press, you believe in challenging the official version of events, no matter who the president is, you want leaks.
And what do we, the public get out of having leaks and having the press have access to them?
Well, let me give you an example. I think this is relevant to you guys particularly because I know there's been a conversation about the VA hospitals in Wisconsin, for example. You know, my colleague Don Slack has done great work on the VA, and at one point someone leaked her an internal ranking system whereby the VA was basically grading its medical facilities on which ones were good and which ones were not very good. And this is information that would have been very useful for the public to have, but the VA was not making it public because they didn't want to. Well, Donovan published the information, and lo and behold, first the VA complained, and then they ranted and raved, and then they set up a website and began routinely releasing this information to the public. So now you can actually look and see whether the VA near you is rated good, rated not good, rated making progress, or whatever. I think that's an important, valuable service that was provided by somebody within the VA or with access to VA materials who said, you know what, we are doing something here that should be public. But the government, that is, the administration who was in the VA at the time, did not want this to be public, and they were wrong.
We're talking to Paul Singer from USA Today. He's looking at leaks and why he says leaks are a good thing, a thing that we should be glad are out there. A lot of leaks in the news lately in the midst of the Trump administration, leaks about in some cases, classified information. The questions, when is the right time to leak? When is the wrong time to leak? What is the responsibility of the press in handling leaks? Paul, let's get into some recent examples from the U.S. government here. You cited a few historical examples before the Trump administration from both parties, Nixon, Clinton, Obama. Can you talk about a couple of those examples?
Well, sure. The Obama one that was at the front of my mind at the time was this notion, this whole issue of the very end of the Obama administration, we got back a handful of people who were held as prisoners, Americans who were being held as prisoners by the Iranians. It just so happened that through a leak, I believe, we discovered that the U.S. government had delivered $400 billion in cash to Iran at the same time. And the administration said, well, of course, there's no connection between those two things. But in fact, it was. And they had to admit, ultimately, that they basically held this payment to Iran. They, for long story about why they owed this money to Iran, it was an old sanctions case. They held the money until they were sure that the hostages were being released. So, to some degree, paid for hostages. But that story never would have come out if it hadn't been for the leak. Go back before that, whether it was, you know, Watergate was full of leaks. It was a whole series of people telling reporters that the president had a secret government basically operating within the White House. Clinton administration, it was ultimately a leak that surfaced the fact that the president was having a sexual relationship with an intern she had lied about. Again, this is where I understand there may be opinions that we are harming national security, and we tend to be very careful about that stuff. But the government's official story is not the whole story, and leaks are frequently how we get the other side of the story.
And you mentioned the issue of national security. What's the responsibility of a journalist, of a journalistic outlet, when looking at information that's maybe classified, that's a national security issue? How do you weigh that?
Yeah, that's a tough one, and it always requires a serious consideration. I mean, I'll tell you that, reporters who travel with the military, whenever they embed, for instance, a reporter with a military expedition, we are required to not release that information about where they are. We're not allowed to report on movements and timing of travel, and we live by those guidelines because we don't want any soldiers to be in danger because we tweeted or wrote a story saying, hey, we're going to be in Mosul Tuesday with this batch of soldiers. Journalists have a way to be very responsible about that kind of stuff. And by the way, we also get phone calls from the government when we call to ask, say, hey, I've got these documents, I'm going to publish them. We frequently get phone calls from government agencies saying, well, you can't publish those because there is some national security concern. And at that point, personally, as a reporter, my view is we hand it over to the lawyers. We have lawyers who are determined to ask, when can we publish? It's their job to figure out whether there actually is national security interest at risk here or not. That is not the reporter's job anymore. That's the lawyer's job. We give it over to the lawyers and let them hash it out. The reporter's job is to always want the story out.
Now, there are a lot of other outlets releasing news now online. There are the Drudge Report, BuzzFeed, The Intercept, things like that. Do they have the same practices? Do they have the same responsibility?
I would say they have the same responsibility. Whether they believe that or not is a different question. It is true, Rob. One of the problems now is that because anybody with a laptop and a WordPress account is now a publisher. And so there are people who might get their hands on stuff and publish it without giving any thought to any of these considerations. And that is a problem because then we all get lumped into the same, the bad lying media, whether you are USA Today or Wisconsin Public Radio or the, Joe's blog, no one can tell the difference. Who was the first one to put out this memo that may or may not have actually been real? Did you really fact check it? It's a real problem. I believe, because I've been a reporter for a long, long time, I've taught journalism ethics at Georgetown, I believe that everybody in this profession has to take this extraordinarily seriously. We have to check our facts. We have to check the leak we're getting. We have to ask the source of the leak, what's in this for you? When it's a true fact that we are confident in, we should go ahead and publish it.
I wanted to ask you, Paul, about a couple stories out there this week. One, the arrest of Reality Winner. She was a contractor with a security-related company, released this apparently national security information about Russian attempts to hack, to phish an election software company and then election offices, released that info apparently to The Intercept and was quickly arrested.
Yeah, best name in the business, Reality
Winner, yeah.
This was dumb everywhere. First of all, it was dumb they gave this person security clearance. She had been on social media basically saying she wanted to burn down the White House. She had done a bunch of things that would raise red flags everywhere. They gave her security clearance anyway. She went to work for this NSA office in Georgia someplace. She got this document about Russian hacking. She turned around and carelessly printed it, carelessly delivered it to a reporter who apparently took a picture of it and sent it to the NSA and said, hey, is this real? We're going to report on it. But, of course, the picture was enough for the NSA to determine that they knew where it came from. It was just like comedy of errors. Everybody looks stupid. Honestly, I don't know whether the information was worth stealing. I don't know how important that story was. I just haven't gotten that deep into the question of whether it showed a more in-depth hacking campaign than we knew. But it was an amateur hour on both the leaker's part and the journalists who were handling the leak.
And then as we wrap up, James Comey said, yeah, I asked a friend of mine to share information about my presidential conversation memos. This is after he was out of his job. He said he was careful not to release classified information. Donald Trump's conclusion, Comey's a leaker. What do you make of that story?
Nobody ever admits to being the source of the leak. It was breathtaking. And basically the reason he did it is because he says he believed Trump was going to lie about their meetings. Whole thing is a phenomenally amazing story. And Trump's team is already going to try and file a complaint against James Comey for leaking. So it is not the last we've heard of this one.
We'll leave it there, Paul. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Be well. Have a good weekend.
You too. That was Paul Singer. He's a Washington correspondent for USA Today. We've been talking about the role of leaks in political and national security coverage.